The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go. The power hour has arrived. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's Juan. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Here I am. Weekdays, we start at 11. We go until 2 p.m. right here. It's AM 1380 and also 99.9 FM, and it's WNRI. And folks, people listen all over. There's all different ways you can listen. Good afternoon to everybody on Facebook Live. Let's see some thumbs up. Facebook Live brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com, EliteWirelessRI.com, meaning that if you're on Facebook, you can go to my page. It's John DePietro Show, and we have the Facebook Live part, and people are then able to watch from all over. So thank you for everybody that supports that. And then I also want to remember, you can listen, as I mentioned, WNRI.com, ReadDePietro.com, DePietro.com. Read that. There's the info. I have Senator Sheldon Whitehouse yearbook posted. We also have, I don't know why the rest of the media is ignoring this, that White House instructed this person that called in with the false accusation against Judge Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh, referred him to a reporter. So far, White House is dodging that. We're going to talk to Bob Flanders, Judge Flanders, coming up at 1:30. He is running against Sheldon Whitehouse for that Senate seat. Do we really want to send Senator Whitehouse back? But also remember, folks, if you have Google or Alexa, you just search WNRI. Say, Alexa, put on WNRI. Boom. I'm in crystal clear audio. And then the same thing with TuneIn Radio app or Simple Radio app. They're free. Download them on their phone. And then you just search WNRI and you can hear us in crystal clear audio. And then make sure you share that, especially the report that we have regarding White House. Again, I mentioned, for the life of me, that is incredible to me. There's White House yesterday at the Rhode Island Convention Center. And you have the media is right there in not one. I would have gone. It was my my little one, Jacqueline Claire. It was her birthday weekend. She turned 16. She's our little gift of God, my youngest. And I would have gone to ask. But I thought, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine and he said, you know, JD, do you think, are you going to head over there? I said, we have a birthday party going for her. I said, I'm sure someone in the local media will ask White House about it, right? I mean, the FBI is questioning, why did you tell this guy to, he calls your office, why did you tell him to call the media on this? You sit on Senate Judiciary. I thought, you know, somebody's going to ask him. No one asked him. No one asked him at all. Unbelievable. But let's bring him on. It's Political Monday. And right now is our friend from OceanStateGarden.com, managing editor, Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
You know, Justin, I want to start off that really just a week ago, candidly, when you look at the timeline, last Thursday, not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before that, Channel 12 came out with their poll. And they showed, according to the Channel 12 poll, Sheldon Whitehouse at 54%. Bob Flanders at 35%, and then the rest undecided. Now, as much as he's up 19 points in that poll, that's still, as you know, that's not great for someone that's been there for 12 years. And ideally, you want to be well above the margin of error, because then the margin of error could really put him right at the 50 mark or even below that. Now, since then, from what I've heard, as a result of, look at what a difference a week makes, the Flanders people, it has been tough. They have been trying to find that issue to break through, and it's difficult. It's not the Burwell power plan. It's not opioid crisis. It's not insider trading, which seems complicated. And then suddenly, look on a dime how things can change. Senator Whitehouse has the national stage and starts questioning Kavanaugh about the yearbook, where then everyone, national commentators, are like, he was like tone deaf as he continued down that line of questioning with the yearbook, became parried in on Saturday Night Live. Everyone's joking about it. I have heard, I mean, they constantly are doing polling that he has taken a dip as much as 6 points that would now put him at 48 in this. Now, Flanders still needs to make the case, But it is incredible how now this, and this thing is not over, because now the FBI is investigating this week, and then they're going to go back the week after that. So this hearing now could really decide the Senate race. But I it's incredible with politics how in a dime this thing can flip. And all over social media, basically, White House is being crushed by people saying it was embarrassing to be asking him, you know, did you fart in high school and drinking games and all this other foolishness?
Oh, yeah. And I've wondered, the first thing I wondered was whether that poll actually played a role in the Democrats as they sat around saying, okay, who's going to do this? And they said, well, Sheldon's got a strong lead in his race, so he'll be the guy who does it.
I'm wondering if that's part of it.
Because we've been talking about how quiet he's been and stopping the fire-breathing stuff about, you know, alt-right wackos in his constituency and all that kind of stuff. So maybe this is him cashing in a little bit of that lead. I do wonder if he goes a bit far, because he could have gone with the whole thing with the calendar. He doesn't just talk about, you know, a rational politician. I think this whole thing is irrational, but a rational politician looking at this would say, well, there is a day on your calendar that looks like it kind of should match up, so maybe if we investigate, we'll find out. No, Sheldon Whitehouse has to get out the visual aids and do like the... It reminded me of Bill Cosby used to do that thing where he had the pen that made the noise and he would draw a picture and would go... He brings out the calendar. He says, we've got PJ. We've got...
Squee.
Judge. Squee. And they're going to Timmy's house for skis, which is brewskis. And, you know, it's just... unbelievable that this is actually going on. And the idea that he's sitting there saying, what is Devil's Triangle? It's a drinking game. Well, how does it work?
How's it play?
Did you ever play quarters? No.
Unbelievable. Okay. Like, of anything, the other stuff I mentioned, Justin, as you know, can be somewhat complicated. Opioid abuse and this other stuff. Everywhere you went, everyone was like, are you kidding me? You're quizzing the guy that on drinking games in high school? Like, that just struck a chord. And immediately, boom, people who normally wouldn't even be, they weren't even paying attention to the race, are suddenly like, what kind of senator do we have here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But although I will point out one of the things that's frustrating, I heard you talking a minute ago about how the people in the media aren't asking about this. He's actually in Tiverton, this guy who gave false information, and Senator Whitehouse said, oh, well, here, go contact a reporter. That's the way to go, you know, not official authorities or anything like that. But the nobody asked him that question. If you watch the Saturday Night Live skit, actually the first thing I tweeted when I saw Sheldon's interview or interrogation of Brett Kavanaugh was, it's so depressing that he didn't immediately afterwards say, live from New York, it's Saturday Night
Live.
You're
right,
it was
yes.
Bizarre. But Saturday Night Live didn't even take it and run with it, at least with that section of it,
no.
The Sheldon Whitehouse section. They turned it all around on Brett Kavanaugh, and it almost made what was a hilarious moment boring. And that's why a lot of conservatives think there's this thorough bias. And if you didn't have that, if you had Saturday Night Live actually worrying about something like, I don't know, comedy, then you would, these sorts of politicians have a lot tougher time getting away with this stuff, because we'd all be, the joke would be out there, laid out all the time. It wouldn't take, you know, internet wags doing Photoshop like I did over the weekend.
Yeah, no, that is exactly right. But what is, what really needs to be explained is why he then referred that man to contact a reporter. I mean, because, and his explanation in the memo to, I believe it's Grassley and the FBI, is he says, I figured that way the reporter could investigate it. But as I mentioned, I mean, that is absurd. I mean, that's not a plausible explanation on when you have someone who's an accuser and then you instruct them to contact the media so they can investigate. And as I mentioned earlier, if someone contacted Attorney General Peter Kilmartin's office and they made a very serious accusation, let's just say someone running for office right now, can you imagine if Kilmartin said, let me give you Tim White's number at Channel 12, that way he can investigate it. You and I both know that is a way to get it into the media and have the story blow up that way. That wasn't a matter of this reporter can investigate it. No, this was done to throw it out to the media. So then, and it did work, because I saw CNN on Tuesday night, boom, fifth accuser named. And then you're like, oh, my God, fifth accuser. And then as you looked at it, what was it? It was from Rhode Island and the Newport story. And Whitehouse is really the one that kind of brought that in. So But I think I want to see how this plays out. What's interesting, I've also heard the White House people at this point, they would love this to go away because the whole thing, it's not going to go away because you have the investigation this week, then there'll be, you know, the vote and everything. As much as when he stands up in front of his liberal, progressive crowd, like yesterday at the convention center, and Justin, as you can imagine, they're loving this and applauding the independents. They look at this stuff as foolishness. Like, are you kidding me? You're asking the guy about, did you fart in high school? I mean, that is beyond ridiculous.
Right. And what's so amazing is that the idea that high school groups don't create their own words. I mean, it highlights how far down this rabbit hole we've gone to insanity, where we're actually looking at a 17-year-old's high school yearbook blurb and trying to interpret their own lingo. I mean, there were words. I was in middle school. We used rare meant one thing, bike meant another thing. I don't know if that was my school, my friends, the region, or if it was a national thing, but these, they change shape, and you're going to go on Google in 2018 and find out what a slang term means and then sit there like... almost like something out of those 80s movies where you had the principal or the superintendent or somebody who's just so tight waddish and
right.
Looking at the kids
it.
And that's where White House is right now. He's that guy. It's pretty astonishing turnabout if anybody would step back and kind of look at it objectively.
But even before, and I want to move on to the governor's debate, but what is even more comical, Justin, is it's hard to take this seriously. I mean, here he is, Sheldon Whitehouse, he was the U.S. attorney for Rhode Island during the Clinton years. He was then a Rhode Island attorney general, and he's quizzing him like, when you use the word ski, you mean brewski. My God, he actually, what is he, Perry Mason of Columbo? Like, it's so foolish of like dissecting what the language, you say the lingo when you're 15 and 16. And I did have flashbacks of like kids that I went to Hendricken with, or then even the guys that I knew in Edgewood, and there were these like terms and codes and certain things meant certain things. And I mean, now we would be embarrassed, but at the time it was like cool because you had like your own lingo type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And the idea that Brett Kavanaugh ought to come out and explain the lingo. I mean, this stuff's embarrassing. I'm sure boof, whatever it means.
Yeah, whatever.
Do that, whatever.
Oh, my God.
It's embarrassing to somebody. So out there somewhere, and the whole thing with the girl's name and it says alumnus, that story, even in a good light, is probably embarrassing to somebody who's gone on and has kids and
yes,
has a life.
Right.
And the idea that the U.S. senators are trying to get Brett Kavanaugh to essentially out these kids' embarrassing high school moments. It's really just unbelievable. And he's up there like the, I know what it was I was thinking of, it's like the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like,
yes.
I'm going to catch that kid. I'm going to show him that this is the one-way ticket to hell or something, whatever the quote was. That's what he was. It's just amazing. If anything should turn people against this inquisition, I think it's just a memory of how we used to be able to kind of laugh about this behavior that has now become just so, I mean, it's the U.S. Senate. It's the most common Twitter phrase I've seen in the past, say, 72 hours is, this is real.
Yeah, you're right. For the Supreme Court, no less.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, Justin, I want to move on because I'm going to talk to Judge Flanders at 1:30 last Thursday night. And these are the things that can happen. So, it's Wednesday night now. You had the gubernatorial debate. And you know what? I'm confused. Was the debate last Wednesday? No, it was Thursday night. It was Thursday night was the debate. It was Thursday night at Roger Williams. And to me, what is unfortunate here unfortunate for Mayor Fung, is you or I are in the media. There was no buzz afterwards. There was no talk about it. On Friday, I didn't get one phone call of anyone wanting to ask about it. No one has asked me about the debate. So much the cable headlines. That was also the same day that White House had questioned Kavanaugh, so that was lighting up. These are one of those things you can't predict in an election, but to me, the debate, in some ways, was almost, it's like if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it. Was it really a debate if not enough people watched it?
Well, yeah, that is a problem. And I think they'll have other debates. But now this was the first one. You kind of got a taste of certain things. And as we were watching certain things, Joe Trillo's reaction, for example, I think a lot of he was getting kind of too nervously aggressive at points. And that sort of thing, he might get under control, and it'll affect later. As you said, it's unfortunate for Mayor Fung. I thought he did pretty well in this one. It definitely, I know from working in the policy area, you plan all this, a rollout to try to get some information out there, and then something like this happens at the national level, and suddenly nobody cares about, you know, what's really important at a local level.
It is, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, you mentioned, I did obviously watch it, and I tape it. I always like to watch it live, and then I tape it and watch it again. Trillo interrupted Fung 6 times. Trillo made some noises. He was kind of the court jester. You know, I talked to different people that weren't familiar with him. They said he just seemed like he wasn't taking it seriously. And if you really watch some of the different elements, there was even Joe Fleming afterwards that said, you know, Governor Raimondo basically would just stand back quiet, looking down as Trillo was then attacking Fung. He interrupted Mayor Fung 6 times. He was mocking Mayor Fung. To me, it seemed very, although this was interesting, Trillo also was attacking Raimondo, which makes me think he's also trying to grab onto that anti-Raimondo, those against Gina crowd. But I'll tell you, Justin, at a guy sitting at 6 or 7%, it is, and Trillo shrugs off the notion of being the spoiler, it's hard to take any of this seriously. And now the problem with the Fung people that they have is the next debate, which I believe is happening at URI. Now the moderate party candidate is going to be on stage. Now you have 4 people on stage, and the more people on stage, you just, everybody gets equal time. It just gets tougher to get the oxygen.
It does, although it might present an opportunity for Mayor Fung and also for Gina Raimondo to be the, to set up a contrast. This is me. This is, I'll do my adult jabs. Like Fung got in a jab about kindergarten to third grade reading so that Joe Trillo could read the campaign finance reports. It was kind of an adult jab at him, as opposed to, you know, just the screaming and the bug eyes. It was conspicuous that in the midst of saying I'm not a spoiler, Trillo never interrupted Governor Raimondo. Only interrupted Alan Fung, and did
right.
So constantly. So many, once or twice would have gotten the point across, but it was every opportunity you could hear him talking over him on the microphone. One thing I do think might be significant in this is that Trillo did make a big deal about leaving the Republican Party, and what made that catch my ear was that Patricia Morgan has been out there saying, I might endorse Trillo, you know, he's really a Republican. So I thought that moment might make that a little bit harder for her. Other than that, I thought it went about as one would have expected. I did not expect Joe Trillo to become quite the... He reminded me of Giovanni Ferrucci almost. You know, oh, I'm the guy. I can build everything in this auditorium better than the people who built it. It was almost so over the top. You wondered, what's this guy really going after here?
I agree with you. And, you know, the next debate is now coming up. I think it's next week at URI. So, but if you're Gina Raimondo, all you want to do is just be neutral. And then to her, she doesn't even, if it were up to her, she doesn't even want the debates, right? She just is looking to just maintain and not give Fung. I think Mayor Fung did actually very well in the debate. But the problem was 6 times with the distraction of Trillo. If they want to move ahead and defeat her, which they can still do, and I'm seeing on Twitter they're getting huge infusions of cash now because this is seen as a winnable seat for the Republicans. And Raimondo is without question tapped out at 43% with all the money she spent. But they need to figure out the Trillo situation. I also think it's interesting, though, Justin, Dee Dee Whitman is impressing a lot of people. She just announced she is going to be running independent. But what I like is she just last week, she opened up her campaign headquarters in Providence and had a big thing. What I like about it is as much as everyone else has been in motion for so long, Dee Dee Whitman is almost approaching it like, listen, a lot of people have not been paying attention. It's really just between me and Mayor Alorza. And so, you know, this is a 5-week sprint right now. And she got Kobe Dennis to endorse her. I see the Providence Police are endorsing her. I see Ray Rickman is endorsing her. She has money. She certainly has well over $600,000, $700,000 of people. I think she could end up being, and in this year of the woman, right? In this year of the woman, Mayor Alorza does not have tremendous support within the Democrat Party. It's interesting, yesterday when I looked at the picture, he was not on stage with Biden. When you look at the picture, it's the usual Raimondo, White House, Cicilline, Langevin. Alorza is not part of that circle. Dee Dee Whitman, I think, could surprise a lot of people. I think that is a race that is very, very winnable for her.
Oh, it certainly is. And I think mainly it's a negative reaction to Alorza, where, you know, the police union coming out. That's not a vote of confidence in the mayor or his two Democrat. I think DeRobio also endorsed Whitman. Alorza's two Democrat competitors in the primary going for the independent candidate. That's all a sign that he's just not doing something right. And I noted when he first ran for the race, he hasn't done a whole lot. We have this problem in the country, but in Rhode Island especially, where we seem to elect people who, whether you agree or not with their politics, it's where's the executive experience coming from in this person? I just don't see it. And I'm not sure Whitman has all that much. I think she's mainly a professional fundraiser.
She is.
But he certainly didn't. And that's what you get, is that somebody who's not really comfortable running things, gets in these weird fights with unions that don't really have a purpose because he's not sure where he wants to go, and you just end up with opposition and sort of an anyone but atmosphere. And so if somebody credible, and so that's going to be Whitman's task over the next few weeks, is to prove I can credibly claim that I can run the city. That's if she can make that case, I think it's going to really give Alorza something to be afraid of.
I agree with you. We're going to hold it short there simply because I am going to be speaking with Judge Flanders. I want to give you any thought or anything else politically that catches your attention. Mattiello certainly is under fire in Cranston, but any other thought? I know Pat Cordalesa did debate Nelly Gorbea. Hopefully there'll be another debate on that. But any other just political thought you want to leave us with, Justin?
Well, it's hard to overcome the boofing and calendar investigations.
I agree. Yeah, that is really stolen the thunder from everything.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was interesting, and it hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention, was Mike Riley running for treasurer. Didn't quit, but he said essentially,
terrible.
This is the game's rigged against me.
Yeah,
the economy's going well for reasons not Rhode Island's doing, and so don't give me money.
Oh, my God.
I think he handled it.
So poorly. That's embarrassing. If you agree to run, just run. You don't have to. I agree with you. Folks, he's Justin Catt, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. That was embarrassing. Justin, great job. We'll talk to you again.
Look forward to it. Thanks, John.
All right, folks, there it is. Justin Catt, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. We're going to be talking with Judge Flanders coming up momentarily. In the meantime, I want to remind you folks, right now, maybe you're looking to get some Halloween decorations and especially some pumpkins and corn stalks and straw and gourds. Stop in to Rhode Island's number one garden center, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. They're open 7 days a week. They're open until 5 o'clock tonight. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's Junior, it's Byron. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. You can call them at 295-4399. Now, Rhode Island's number one garden center is located 3688 Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. And right now at PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, full mums, kale, ornamental peppers, all ready, all colors, all grown on the premises. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Stop in and see them. Beautiful selection of perennial trees and shrubs. This really is the best time of year to landscape your yard because of the fall temperatures and the less watering is required. It's not so hot. So stop in PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. And for do-it-yourselfers, either you can do it yourself or schedule a free estimate. Stop in and see them. They are the best. And again, they also have, as I said, wait till you see the selection they have on pumpkins and corn stalks and straw. It's Rhode Island's number one garden center. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Pumpkins, corn stalks, gourds, straw. Open 7 days a week till 5 tonight. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Well, folks, as we were just mentioning, last week, suddenly, there it was. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse in the center of activity, the talk of the nation, parodied on Saturday Night Live. Senate Judiciary, by the way. Senate Judiciary, this was his time in the spotlight. his chance to question Judge Kavanaugh. And let's just remind everybody exactly how it went.
We submitted things to the editors, and I believe they took them. I don't know if they changed things or not, but
you're not aware of any changes. As far as you know,
I'm not aware one way or the other, but I'm not going to sit here and contest that. To have at it if you want to go through my yearbook.
Yeah, I'm actually interested. You know, I don't know if it's boofed or boofed. How do you pronounce that? Devil's Triangle?
Drinking game.
How's it played?
Three glasses in a triangle.
And?
You ever played quarters?
No.
Okay, it's a quarters game.
I don't know that I asked about ketchup on spaghetti, your friend Mark Judge put the same thing in his yearbook page back to you. He had the same meaning. It was flatulence.
I don't know what he did, but that's my recollection. When we want to talk about flatulence at age 16 on a yearbook page, I'm game.
Well, folks, you can hear the laughter in the background. That certainly got a lot of people's attention. Folks, joining us right now, he is the challenger right now for Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. It is Republican Bob Flanders. Good afternoon, Judge Flanders.
Good afternoon, John.
Judge, last week, all the eyes of the nation on the judiciary carried on all the networks, not just the cable news channels, CBS, ABC, NBC, for everyone carrying it. And there was, in the spotlight, Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse quizzing Judge Brett Kavanaugh, asking him if he was ever farting in high school.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing, I think, for him and for the rest of us Rhode Islanders to watch our elected senator acting in that manner and basically trying to demean this judge through questioning him about sophomoric entries in his high school yearbook and using nicknames and slang that many high school kids use. And to me, it was just a continuation of the attempted character assassination that Senator Whitehouse and other Democrats have been trying to pull off as under the pretense of trying to find the truth. But we know, John, that 2.5 weeks before this hearing began, Senator Whitehouse declared his opposition to this man. And now the slow walking of the whole thing, trying to delay in the hope that the Senate will turn Democratic. It's all a political play. And unfortunately, this man's reputation, Judge Kavanaugh's, is damaged, obviously, because even if he gets to the Supreme Court, there's going to be people, perhaps even half of the nation, who will still have questions about whether this ever happened, as alleged. And it hasn't been proven. And we'll see if there's any new evidence that comes out. But this whole line of questioning was a complete embarrassment. And ironically, it's been a tremendous boost to my campaign because people from across the country are contacting me and saying, you've got to get this embarrassment out of there, and sending money on top of it from places like Nebraska, California, Georgia, Tennessee. People that had never even heard of this race before are now weighing in and saying, this guy has got to go. He can't possibly be a senator in the United States any longer after pulling this off with Judge Kavanaugh.
Folks, good afternoon. We're speaking with Bob Flanders. He is challenging Senator Whitehouse for that Senate seat. Whoever wins will represent Rhode Island in Washington for the next 6 years. Senator Whitehouse has been there for 12 years. Now, Judge, over the weekend, there were developments. Late last week, on the eve, actually, of the Kavanaugh hearing, they broke in with news that, quote, a fifth accuser had come forward. It was then traced to be someone from Rhode Island that contacted Senator Whitehouse's office. Now, Senator Whitehouse, we've now learned from Senate Judiciary and Chairman Grassley that the FBI is going to go after this investigation, who then recanted what he said. But he still, in fact, did contact the office, report this complete false allegation, of which Judge Kavanaugh had to answer on the phone, and then even made reference to, they got me on boats in Rhode Island, all this other stuff. But what also came out over the weekend, Judge, is the fact that Senator Whitehouse, after speaking with this individual, instructed this individual to contact a reporter
so the reporter could investigate these allegations of a rape or sexual assault on a boat in Newport in 1985. Now, I'm just trying to picture a scenario, Judge. You were a judge, sat in the Rhode Island Supreme Court. Judge, have you ever heard of a situation, for instance, in modern day, just Rhode Island, this is modern day, but if someone contacted Attorney General Peter Kilmartin on a very serious allegation about, you know, someone, let's just say right now running for office, can you imagine a scenario where Attorney General Peter Kilmartin, who is the chief law enforcement officer, instructed the person to contact Tim White at Channel 12 or Parker Gavigan at Channel 10 to have them investigate this? Judge, what, as if they're supposed to be the one to investigate it. Number one, my question for Senator Whitehouse is, who is that reporter and why was he encouraging this person to contact the media to investigate this instead of following the normal protocol, which would be the FBI to investigate this?
Right. And obviously, this was a terrible exercise of judgment, and it was intended, of course, to feed into the media frenzy over this and to add yet another allegation against this judge, knowing that it hadn't been vetted, knowing that no one had investigated it. To go to the media with this was basically tantamount to leaking this in the hope that it would further muddy the waters for Judge Kavanaugh and get everyone completely stirred up about yet another allegation. It was a completely unethical thing to do, and Judge never should have sent it to a reporter to supposedly do an investigation. The reporter was going to get it and publish it, of course. And so, you know, it's interesting, John, the Senate now, Senator Grassley has referred this to the FBI and its prosecution involved in this false charge. But I think Senator Whitehouse needs to be ashamed of what he did here, because that, to me, is inexcusable. I don't fault him for sending along to the Senate or to the FBI, but to simultaneously send this man, this accuser, this unvetted accuser, onto the media in the obvious hope that they would leak it and there would be yet another story about for the damage to his reputation is reprehensible. And, of course, the man recanted his story. And it illustrates a further point, and that is that just because somebody accuses somebody of sexual assault or, for that matter, any other crime, doesn't mean it's true. And that's that these investigations occur by proper law enforcement authorities and not have it tried in the media, which is what Senator Whitehouse was attempting to do by referring this man to a reporter. I hope people appreciate the significance of this ethical lapse on his part, because it's telling of how partisan this man is and how you're going to do anything to take down this judge.
Which, folks, we're speaking with Bob Flanders. Again, he is challenging Senator Whitehouse. Judge Flanders, who is the reporter that Senator Whitehouse referred this man to?
I have no idea, but that's certainly something that should be looked into. Let's find out what his end of it. If they're going to investigate this, they should certainly look into who the reporter was, when he was contacted, if he did anything, what if anything came of it, because this ultimately, of course, did get, and we don't know where it came from first. It came from the Senate committee necessarily. It could have come from other sources, so let's find out. Let's ask Senator Whitehouse the question. Why is he hiding who this person is?
And I'm just curious, if someone calls him with a serious allegation like this and his response is to refer the person to have the media investigate it, was that something that he did when he was the Rhode Island Attorney General? If someone contacted him or his office regarding something, a crime of this nature, would he refer them to speak to the Providence Journal or Channel 12 or Channel 10 so they could investigate the matter? Judge, if you're a U.S. attorney or you're an attorney general, wouldn't you have investigative purposes at your disposal that you could then investigate this on your own? Have you ever heard of something like that?
Of course not. Completely inappropriate behavior. So I can't imagine he would have done anything like this. I mean, we don't know, but God forbid this was his MO when he was serving in those positions. So, yeah, it's inconceivable to me that he would have done such things. And so that's why it makes it particularly egregious. This wouldn't have been an innocent mistake. This is a fellow who knows what the proper procedure is because he's held offices where you would properly investigate these types of charges. You don't send an accuser off to the media in the hope that the media will do whatever they do to attack this man's reputation by publishing it before it's been vetted and to see whether there's any merit to the allegations. So it raises all sorts of questions about how this man operated when he held office before.
Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro speaking with Judge Flanders. Judge, I have spoken to people that I know in Washington, and what I have been told is when the FBI asked this individual why did he contact the reporter, he is the one that told them that Senator Whitehouse referred him and told him to contact the reporter. You really want to, you got to kind of, in a way, sell this, so to speak. You got to really add some meat to this. Judge, you're being diplomatic, but to me, Senator Whitehouse knew he was going to be questioning Judge Kavanaugh. He knew he was going to be in questioning him. There's no other way to interpret this as there's a pattern here where Dianne Feinstein has the letter and about this woman initially, Dr. Ford. And what does she do? It's then fed to the Washington Post. And it's attempt to kind of, blow up the confirmation. And now you have a situation where Senator Whitehouse gets a call regarding an allegation. He has no idea whether or not it's true. It's true. He does put it to the FBI because then Kavanaugh was actually been asked about it. As they're investigating this, Kavanaugh was asked about this on a phone call. He completely denied it. But what I truly believe, Judge Flanders, Senator Whitehouse today needs to name the reporter in the news organization that he instructed that man to contact. And has this happened before? And did he do this as attorney general? Did he do this as U.S. attorney? What is so appalling to me, and I want to get your thought, but what really sticks out to me is this judiciary hearing is all, as you know, it's all under oath. They talk about potential perjury. Senator Whitehouse knew he was going to be questioning Judge Kavanaugh. This was not Congressman Cicilline telling this man to contact the media. This was not Landrigan. This wasn't even Senator Reid never would do something like that. He instructed this individual who completely recanted this allegation. Whitehouse, he instructed that guy to call a reporter so they could investigate it, knowing that he was going to question Kavanaugh. I'm sorry, Judge. I think that is just beyond the bounds. And I'm not trying to challenge you as a judge when you are on the Supreme Court. But I would be hard-pressed to, if you could come up with an example, that if someone contacted Peter Kilmartin, for example, as the Attorney General, that he would contact the head of the Rhode Island State Police, not instruct the person to contact Tim White or the I-Team or the Providence Journal for them to investigate it. Judge Flanders, there's no other way to take out of this other than Senator Whitehouse, his goal was to have this thing blow up into the media. And as I was watching CNN Tuesday night, they said, boom, headline, fifth accuser comes forward. Kavanaugh, rape in Newport, Rhode Island on a boat. Completely fabricated. And Whitehouse behind the scenes was working to inflame that story.
Yeah, it's totally reprehensible, in my opinion, and fortunately, this man recanted, soon enough, but it's not enough to prevent it from getting out there for a limited period of time that yet there was a fifth rape allegation here in Newport, and Senator Whitehouse was all involved in it. Where does this judge go to get his reputation back?
That's right.
Where does he go? How does he do that? Because even court, this is going to trail him for the rest of his life. And this man's on trial for his life. That's the way you have to look at this. And you have to remember that in law, the burden of proof is always on the accuser when someone is being charged with a criminal offense. And so One has to be presumed innocent until proven guilty under America.
That's right.
Even if this is not a judicial proceeding in the normal sense or a trial, but still, those are fundamental American principles that people need to remember. He's led an exemplary life from his entire adult existence. And so to dredge up this stuff from 36 years ago.
Oh, my God.
A high school kid talking about flatulence and other sophomoric references in his yearbook. This is, and the thing I fear most of all, as bad as I feel for this man and his family, is how this will be a deterrent for other good people.
Right.
For people who have led model lives, even, to come forward and say, do I really want to put myself, my family, through this kind of partisan gauntlet to face the likes of Senator Whitehouse drilling down into my yearbook?
Oh, my God. And ridiculous.
And my diaries when I was in junior high school, or whatever else they can find to try and smear my reputation and let people think that I'm a bad guy and all of that. And this has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with human decency and integrity.
Yes.
Because it could equally happen to a woman that was being proposed, or a man. And this is not to cast aspersions on Dr. Ford. She seems to believe, for whatever reason, that this happened to her. But look, there's just been no proof to date, no corroboration whatsoever of what she's saying, and actual other folks have come forward to refute what she's saying. So, so far, if we're going to honor the principle that a person is innocent until proven guilty, and that the burden of proof is always on an accuser, so far that hasn't been met. And so, for other reasons, if I was voting today, I would vote to confirm him. But on the other hand, I think it was probably good for the nation to at least take another week to tie up any loose ends, and let's see where this ends up. If there's new information, fine, we'll reevaluate it. But so far, Senator Whitehouse has done himself no favors, and certainly done Rhode Island no favors by the way he's behaved, and I hope people hold him to account for it.
I agree with you, Judge. And before I let you go, that process, everyone listening, we are speaking with Judge Bob Flanders. He is challenging Senator Sheldon Whitehouse for the Senate seat. There's 5 weeks to go to the election. Judge, this is supposed to be, at the very least, a fair process. Senator Whitehouse sits on the Senate Judiciary. It is obviously, to me, very clear that this is not a situation and a position that he takes seriously, because he announced in August that he was going to vote no on Kavanaugh before any type of hearing, before I ever spoke to him. Feinstein, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, they have said plain and clear, we will fight and stop any judge that President Trump puts forward. Judge Flanders, they meant it. I didn't realize, and maybe I'm naive, I didn't know the extent that they would go in order to block that. But if Clarence Darrow was being put up, or the most brilliant judge scholar ever put forward, it is very clear. Senator Whitehouse, if one thing, he means what he says. He said, we will do whatever possible to block any Trump judge. And now we've learned it, even if it means feeding a fake account to the press, and then the onus becomes on Judge Kavanaugh to defend himself and try to prove that it did not happen, and that is not the way the courtroom is supposed to happen. Judge, before I let you go, there are so many people now that are watching this, paying attention, people saying, I want to get a Flanders sign, I want to donate, I want to get involved. I had someone contact me over the weekend that said, I want to put together a fundraiser for the judge. How can people reach the Flanders campaign?
All right, so I have a website, flandersforsenate.com. We welcome any and all folks to go to that site. We have our headquarters at 615 Greenwich Avenue in Warwick. We love people to come by. We're looking for volunteers. We've got plenty of signs for folks who are interested. Obviously, we would welcome donations so we can get our message out there through the rest of this campaign. We're barely 5 weeks away here, so we're heading into the stretch run, and the finish line is in sight. But the campaign is getting great momentum from this, and I welcome any and all people to come forward and help me get this across the finish line. So, John, thank you, and I always enjoy talking with you.
Judge, one last thing. Number one, I would like to call on Senator Whitehouse. Stop hiding behind Claudine Schneider, who left Rhode Island 30 years ago. Suddenly, she's the spokesperson. I'd like to think that Senator Whitehouse, he obviously had no problem doing interviews with 60 Minutes and everything else. He could answer for himself. And the other thing is, listen, you're the challenger. You can't pick when debates are going to happen. But for them to choose a Saturday night at URI, that is right out of the playbook that the Clintons used against Bernie Sanders. This is part of their MO. Hillary Clinton said, sure, I'll debate Bernie Sanders on a Saturday night in December as half the population is out at a Christmas party. Again, you're the challenger. There's very little he can do, but it shows me a lot, and I want people to see through that. He should stop hiding behind Claudine Schneider, who's not a Republican anymore. She left Rhode Island 30 years ago. And number two, if he really wants to stand up on his record, instead of being a parody on Saturday Night Live, he shouldn't be debating on Saturday night. He should give you the forum that you deserve, that we deserve. And most importantly, Senator Whitehouse, Judge, should be seeking the truth, not referring people to the media to try to blow up false stories. Judge Flanders, we are behind you. You are going to win this race, and I look forward to your inauguration in Washington, D.C.
Amen, John. Amen.
All right. There he is, Judge Bob Flanders, right here on the John DePietro Show. I have never heard such BS in my life.
And attention, local media, get your head out of your behind. Follow this story. Stop covering for Whitehouse. This is pathetic. My God. This is right out of their playbook, Saturday night debates. Yeah, that's when Hillary debated Bernie Sanders, referring someone to call a reporter. Hey, Sheldon, who is the reporter? Claudine Schneider. Boy, I wish Claudine Schneider would show her face in Rhode Island. She left here 30 years ago. That's who answers for Sheldon now. Claudine Schneider, give me a break. All right, folks, 766-1380, 766-1380. You know, Sheldon, you know, we were born at night. We weren't born last night, for Christ's sake. So, folks, I want to remind you, look at this, I'm getting all worked up. But I want to remind you, a great lunch is waiting for you. You know what I'm going to say, Tavolo. Stop it and see them. Boy, what a great job they do. I get nice email. Thank you, by the way. People saying, Juan, thank you for telling me about Tavolo. T-A-V-O-L-O, Wine Bar, Tuscan Grill. 970 Douglas Pike, Route 7 in Smithfield. Fresh steak, seafood, Italian food, extensive wine list. Tavolo. And take advantage of their Monday through Friday three-course price fixed lunch is just $14.95. It's creative, affordable dining at Tavolo. Leonard and his staff do a great job. You'll dine on fresh pasta. You will devour the fresh lobster ravioli, or also the chicken parm is delicious, the veal parm. Remember, all desserts made fresh, in-house, Tavolo. Stop in and see them. 970 Douglas Pike, Route 7 in Smithfield. It's John DePietro, 766-1380. Check DePietro.com. I'm now just getting email from national media outlets that want to pick up the Sheldon Whitehouse story. We'll see. You may see the Independent Man on with Tucker Carlson. We're going to find out. We're going to expose Sheldon Whitehouse for the fraud that he is. And it's all ahead on the John DePietro Show. Oh, hold on. And it's all... Here I am. It's all ahead on the John DePietro Show.
Here in Rhode Island, we love driving across our beautiful state. From the beaches to the cities, we enjoy every mile. That's why more Rhode Islanders drive Paul Massey vehicles, one of the best ways to ride in style. Right now, lease a 2018 Silverado Double Cab Custom 4-Wheel Drive for $179 a month for 24 months, with $39.88 due at signing.
My Paul Massey ride.
So find your style and enjoy every mile, only at Paul Massey.
This portion of the program is brought to you by K's, 1013 Cass Avenue, Woonsocket, right across from CVS. Whether it's lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge, you open up the napkin, boom, there's the menu. At K's, 1013 Cass Avenue, Woonsocket, whether it's a delicious steak sandwich, I love their roast beef. The pastrami is unreal. And, of course, the roasted turkey. What I love about K's is the staff is just terrific. When I go in, and David has put together such a wonderful group there, and John, there is John right there, Kim, who's so terrific, and Allison, and Donna, who's so friendly, and Ursula, and Kathy. Allison, Nicole, Kim, Ursula, Donna, Kathy, and John does a great job. It's K's. Stop in and see them. Lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge. 1013 Cass Avenue, Woonsocket, right across from CVS. Folks, we're back on this Monday. You can call in 766-1380, 766-1380. You know, listen, I appreciate the email. I do. I want to say good afternoon, by the way. Everybody on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com, EliteWirelessRI.com. There's Steve. Thank you. Relax, John. Thank you, Louise. White House is very partisan. Partisan. Letter was on the internet to Feinstein. That's right. Greenwich Avenue. That's right. They're right over there. Good. Jim says he went over there, got his sign. I need a Flanders sign, too. Folks, we have a chance to turn this around. Judge Flanders is who we need in the Senate. Listen, I do appreciate these people. Juan, thank you. You're the only one in the media talking about the White House story. As much as I say thank you, it shouldn't be that way. Challenge them. Challenge some of these lightweights behind the microphone. Tell them to try to follow the story. This is pathetic. This is like Lightweightville. I mean, it's not that complicated. And these softball interviews that people give, Senator Whitehouse, says one member of the media, you know, told someone I know, well, the only thing is, I just think Sheldon's going to win, and then I don't want to burn my access from for him. Why don't we try to get to the truth? Why did he feed that story to a reporter? Why did he tell that guy to contact a reporter? Why did he tell the guy to inflame the story? Why did he say, we're going to drop a bomb on Kavanaugh? I really need you to juice this up with the media. That is not a senator that should be on Senate Judiciary. And on top of that, I want you to just understand one thing, folks. If you understand anything, Rhode Island has always succeeded best when we've had someone representing us on both sides of the aisle, right? We, you know, we're spoiled. We did have Claiborne Pell, Democrat, and we had Senator Chafee in the Senate. This does not work, having two Democrats, and Jack Reed isn't going anywhere. We need and deserve to get rid of Senator Sheldon Whitehouse.
He's John DePietro. He's really in the know with his talk show on your radio. He's John DePietro.
All right, folks, do me a favor. Check DePietro.com, DePetro.com. Everybody can see all the documents right there. The FBI is involved. The investigation goes on. And the local media has to start asking some questions of Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. It's John DePietro. Listen, enjoy this Monday. We're back tomorrow at 11 right here on AM 1380 and 99.9 FM. And it's WNRI.
WNRI Woonsocket.
WNRI.